What is up, Moncton? Welcome to another episode of the Moncton Wildcast podcast. How is everyone? I am your host, Adam. I am joined, as always, by my two co-hosts, Jeremy Boucher.
Howdy ho!
And Mr. Chris Dobson.
Roar.
So, lots happened since we chatted last week. We've had, three games, the home opening ceremonies, so it's a lot to get to in one episode, so we're going to break this thing up. We're going to do two episodes. We're going to cover opening night tonight, and then we're going to do another episode tomorrow night for everyone. So let's get at it. The home opener.
It was wet.
It was wet. It was raining, which kind of rained on the parade. No pun intended.
Weather,
there.
I mean, temperature was good. It was nice. I know that they were trying to get, live musicians, live bands. They want to get some face painting for the kids. Have a real nice event out at the plaza, make sure it was awesome, you know what I mean? So it's a bit of a downer to see that didn't work out in their favor.
It definitely stopped raining. Like, it wasn't raining as hard as it was in the afternoon
by game time.
But
it was drizzling for sure, but the mood was killed. Yeah. The buzz was gone.
Yeah.
My buzz wasn't gone.
Oh.
My buzz lasted all day.
In fact, actually, the rain probably helped sober him up a little bit. But no, ultimately, you're right. I mean, if you look at how it gone down, I mean, no one really knew what to expect, guys. I mean, this was the first hockey game at the Avenir Center, the home opener for the Moncton Wildcats, sellout crowd, 8,800-plus tickets sold. Before we get into the game itself, I don't even know where to start.
That's where we were going, is the home, the opening ceremonies. I have thoughts. I'm sure we all have thoughts.
I know that there was a lot of stress. I know that there was a lot of pressure.
I can just imagine.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you want this thing to go perfect, right? You want this thing to go off without a hitch. Arguably the biggest home game you've had in many, many moons.
Since 2006?
Maybe even 2010, we'll see. I mean, the President's Cup win was huge as well.
But since that first Memorial Cup game is what I mean.
Right. But overall, let's start with the positives. We'll call it a poop sandwich, if you will. Positive number one, they won the game.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. They beat St. John. They rebounded after losing at St. John at Harbor Station the week before.
Yep.
Now time for the inside. I've got some thoughts. The opening ceremonies, I liked them. I didn't, they were long. We knew they were going to be long. There's a few things that I felt were missing. And I'll let you guys chirp in as soon as I'm done here. At no point did I see or was I waiting for the pump up the crowd. The Wildcats are taking the ice for the first time in this building. The lights should be down. Lasers should be shooting everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's better with lasers. Once that's done, but we didn't get that. So I felt like that was a potential missed opportunity. Now again, I'm sitting behind a microphone at a table, not putting this event together. So I know after talking to someone in the organization, we had a good chat, there was plans that didn't come to fruition. So that's my first, that's my big issue.
Right.
Second issue, the crowd.
What crowd?
That's my issue.
Oh my,
I was disappointed. I was looking, I think we talked about this on the show last week. We talked about if the crowd had every reason to be fired up like it was 2006, and that was our expectations. We were expecting to see 8,500 plus people freaking out. Other than the first goal that was scored, fans went nuts. 45 seconds to a minute, then it died back down. DJ did his job. Yep. He did everything possibly. I was disappointed in the citizens of Moncton. Yes, they bought their tickets. Yes, they bought things at the Roar store. Yes, they bought food and drinks. But at no point did they cheer. And that really bummed me out. That bothered me a lot.
When I started this podcast, it was one of my things, the sitting on your hands stuff. And maybe that's part of it. They weren't jazzed up like we thought, because it was like they did the opening ceremonies for this great building and they went, oh yeah, we should probably announce the hockey team that's gonna play. Like, you have $100-some million building with state-of-the-art sound, state-of-the-art lights, and you put a river and a train track in the middle of the ice. You can't put anything else on that screen. Like, the intros were cool on the Jumbotron, put them on the ice. Put something on the ice.
Now,
like, get this crowd, like, And that's just what I feel is they didn't give him a reason to be pumped up.
You're right. And like I said, that's in my opinion. Now, I do know that since then, and they played that new Wild Side video that they're running everywhere now.
Oh, they figured it out.
It's amazing. It's a wicked video. It's an unbelievable video.
I shared it on the social medias if you haven't
seen it. This is the other compliment to the poop sandwich I was talking about earlier. That video is unbelievable. Now, they ran it in the first intermission of the home opener. That should have been run during the opening ceremonies before the players come out.
Yeah, like it is now.
Right. That to me, that's the only thing that I thought was lacking. But I thought that video was incredible. Kudos to all the local talent involved in that thing. If you haven't seen it, you can go to the Wildcats Facebook page and take a look at it. It's unbelievable. Go to their Twitter feed. It's incredible.
You can go to ours. I've shared it.
Yeah, you could. But you it's not our video.
No.
But yeah, so other than that, it's so well done. That's my thoughts. So before we get into the game, Jeremy, you've been really quiet, chomping at the bit here. So I'm just going to let you get a couple
looks
words.
Looks like he's got his notes. He's got a page full of
notes. I got no notes. I'm waiting to see who gets the Memorial Cup in 2020. So I'm keeping I keep refreshing my Twitter here. But getting back to the opening ceremonies, I liked them because I am a history buff.
Right.
Yep.
I enjoyed that part. A lot about Moncton I didn't know. I got really emotional when they did the Becca Schofield.
Not a dry eye in the house. Not a dry eye in the house.
Yeah, that was really touching.
Amazing.
Put the lights on her family. Yeah. Like that was really well done. You could see her family was really emotional as well. I was super impressed with that. The choir, the
orchestra. I thought that was kind of cool.
I think we're all in agreement. And I don't want to cut you off, Jeremy. I think we're all in agreement. It's like, nobody's knocking the opening ceremony.
No.
It was so well done.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt like they could have done more on the hockey side towards the end
of
the guys.
Two parts.
You're right. You talk about the history side of things. You talk about the heritage, the land the building was built on. Like, all that stuff is super relevant and absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it should have almost been two parts. Like, the 40 minutes for the opening ceremonies and then your 5-minute, 3-minute video,
just throw
whatever.
Throw a laser, man. That's all I wanted. Some lasers.
Throw
that's
a video on the ice.
Sorry, buddy. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Huge fan of the new train horn.
Right.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
That's, again, goes back to the CN Tracks being on that property. They implemented that into the building.
Which, not living here, I never knew
about.
Trains, so that's kind of cool.
I'm hearing rumors, and I can't confirm this or not. I was talking to my brother-in-law, Miramichi. There's apparently some discussions. It could be all hearsay. I have no idea if this is accurate or not. That they're working the trains, looking to work out deals in cities like St. John, Miramichi, places like that where the trains are flowing through for a game day. So if you're in St. John, you want to come to Moncton to watch the Cats play at the Avenir Center, there's a package that'll give you your ticket, a food voucher, and a train ride to Moncton and home when the game's over.
Well, that's way cooler than a bus,
I think. If that's accurate, that's two things are good there. One, helps attendance in the building, gets people in here. Two, it gets the trains going again. I miss the trains. I miss them.
I've been talking about that as soon as they started building the center, one thing that crossed my mind is having a series. Montreal and Ottawa did it a few years ago where their players took the trains, the fans took the trains.
The Rangers do it a lot. They go and down and practice at Central Park.
Yeah, but you look at it like the Via Rail station is right behind the Avenir Center, and the Via Rail station in Halifax is right downtown as well, maybe a 3-minute walk to the Scotiabank Center. Is that what they call it now? Scotiabank Center. So it's something that the two organizations could partner with, along with Via Rail, to say, let's put together a deal. That'd be really neat. You fill those trains up with Wildcats fans and Mooseheads fans, and you fill the barns, especially a home and home series on a Saturday night game or a Sunday afternoon game.
Mm-hmm.
It would really help generate some more attendance into the buildings. Not that Halifax isn't already a big draw. But I think it would be a first time thing in the queue because I don't think any organizations do that.
No.
I don't know
what happens in Quebec. I have no idea, but I can't see it.
Just fan buses more than anything, I would definitely jump on that package instead of driving my own car or taking a fan bus. I'd love to get on a train. I've never been on one.
I've never been on a train either.
Fun fact, I have also never been on a train.
Oh, looks like this could be a threesome on a train sometime.
Sounds like a road trip.
It would be a track trip.
Track trip. Going back to the home opener for a second, based off the size and capacity of this new building, who does Moncton get compared to the most now that this facility is in place? the Halifax Movesets, based off size, attendance, and how it all works.
Yeah.
Do you think for 2 seconds that fans aren't going to lose their mind on October 27th when the Halifax Mooseheads finally have their home opener?
Oh, it's going to be...
It's going to be a gong show.
They don't even have tickets on sale yet, and I can guarantee you that game is selling out in a heartbeat.
Like, if the pre-sales, even though they're not out yet, aren't already gone.
Mm-hmm.
With the Mem Cup, obviously, that's the other thing you got to look at, too. Season ticket holders are going to dominate that building as well. There's going to be a lot of season ticket holders. A lot of corporate tickets are in that building. But that's the part that infuriates me. It's like... We had a team on the ice who, again, are working through a couple kinks at the moment. But we have a very offensively talented hockey team that will score a lot of goals. And other than when the goals were scored, at no point was I like, this crowd is Wildcat crazy.
No. It's the same atmosphere as it was in the Coliseum. Like, I call it a library, and I'm still going to call it a library. There was actually a joke. For any of those who read the message boards, there was actually a guy who admitted on the message boards last year that he brought a book to a game last year.
Wow.
And
amazing.
Just that sums up the fan base.
And I don't know how you fix it.
They're not. It's not like they're not supporting the team, because they are. There's a lot of support here. Yeah. Everybody loves them. You know, families look up, their kids look up to these guys. Like, these guys are their role models.
Yes. Yeah.
But for some reason, when it comes to getting excited, getting loud, doing what you need to do, the city of Moncton's missing it. Something is wrong somewhere.
And what do you do? Paul Thomas is doing everything again. They brought in the other guy to do everything.
I'll tell you what you can do.
DJ was doing everything he could.
I will tell you what you can do to fix it.
All right.
Jeremy, you may remember a couple years back at the Coliseum, there was a couple games specifically that were loud through the roof. And that was, they had, and I believe at the time, I don't remember the telco, it might have been TELUS, they had their employees down at the bottom. It was Thundersticks every time they were there, just like there were tonight. And I think those were also TELUS Thundersticks, I think, at the arena Friday. They were at the bottom of the stairwell, and they were hammering on those Thundersticks in every section for an entire game, I think 3 or 4 games in a row. It was insane. It was like we were back at the Mem Cup in 06. But unless you've got somebody doing that, which again, not saying it's required, but you got to do something. You bring in 8,800 people for these guys, and you're wondering why the players aren't fired up to do this stuff. And I mean, they were firing on adrenaline just to be in the building and play their home opener. You shouldn't have been able to hear anything for 60 minutes.
No.
I want to go on a bit of a defensive here for the home opener. So the game didn't start till 8 o'clock.
It was a late game, for sure.
So as a Moncton fan, you're not used to a start time at 8 o'clock.
You can't use that as an excuse,
well, look
though.
At it. Like,
you knew what you were coming into.
Yeah, but it's on a Friday night.
Fans expected, like, they're so used to games being at 7 and out the door by 20 after 9. And I don't know if they got tired, but my wife fell asleep with the freaking game.
Just for curiosity's sake, was your wife consuming as many adult beverages as you were?
yeah.
Well, that's why she was sleeping.
But I get that, because I mean, they were expecting the 7 p.m. and the 7:30, and then you've got a 45-minute ceremony. That puck didn't drop till a quarter after 8.
Mm-hmm.
So in that defense, I can see that, and it was one of the things when we talked about the time change, why they didn't start it at 7 with the thing going till 7:30 puck drop. But what I will say is, like, you guys can ask this better. Were there more people there for warm up than there were for almost every game last year?
Oh, the home opener.
Like, the
warm-up
sounded louder than... Yeah, it was like there's more people for warm-up there than...
As soon as the soundtrack kicked in and the Cats took the ice for the warm-up...
That was the loudest part of the building for hockey.
It was a gong show. Yeah. Fans were excited.
Yeah.
And actually, you know what? My hat goes off to the Avenir Center, because they were able to get those people in there in a timely fashion this time.
Yeah.
You know, they're working out these kinks we've been talking about for weeks. You know, you're trying to juggle all this stuff going on. Bottom line is, we can move on from the home opener. It happened.
We can
it's
get to
done.
The hockey game now.
They got the W. You know, if you look at what we haven't been able to do, and that was stop Josh Lawrence so far from the preseason and the first game of the regular season.
We did it.
Yeah. And they did it well.
He had one assist, right?
And we did it without Dylan Seitz.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? So... Oh, man. It felt good to get the monkey off our back on that one.
It was really good to see him come out with fire. Like, for having to sit for that ceremony. And it's a little different when you're in your home barn to sit there.
Right.
But, I mean, you could kind of see it in St. John having to sit through that and whatever. But we were all very, very wrong on the first goal in the Avenir Center.
That we were.
I mean, my guy got suspended, so I had no horses in that race.
You didn't even have a chance.
No. But, I mean, we got two goals from Havanoff, Pelts, McKenna, Hudson. They all chipped in. Like, it was what we were expecting to see all season.
I will say this. With that great feed to Havanoff on the odd angle on the far side, and he one-timed that in.
I don't know how that went in.
And then he gives you the Kuznetsov eagle up the side. I have not, it's been a long time since emotionally I was that fired up. You know, that happens to me, goosebumps, right? And again, this is where we're talking about that crowd, because that's when they started to freak out.
Yeah.
And to hear that, to hear 8,800 people lose their minds for a brief period of time. My arm hair was standing, and then you see Havanoff eagling up the side of the ice, and that's what I was expecting. That's what I wanted. That's why we went and, like, that's why we drafted him. Mm-hmm. He is a pure... That's why Minnesota drafted him. That's what he's going to do for you. And then what does he do? Follows it up with another one that night. You know, he's a pure goal scorer. You can tell, I mean, even from last year when we first saw him step on the ice, he's got some speed back.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's for sure, yeah.
He's got his speed back. He's put a little weight on. You know, physically, he looks as fit as I've ever seen him. Still seen him take a couple frustration penalties. But again, we'll work those kinks out.
We'll take those if he's going to be putting goals like he did.
If he's scoring goals and he stepped up, Dylan Seitz was done. The return of Jacob Hudson was Friday night.
Yeah.
You know, great to see him in the lineup. You know, it's the Moncton Wildcats are a great hockey team, guys. We just need to figure it out.
Yes. And it's not figured out offensively.
I don't think so.
It's defensively.
It's defensively.
Which we knew that coming into the year.
Right.
Right? That was the big question mark going in, was the defense. Looked like they addressed it, and now, I mean, we'll get into a little bit more tomorrow with Halifax and Cape Breton. We're just kind of focusing on the St. John game. But they didn't allow a power play goal. Like, their penalty kill looks great.
The penalty kill is unbelievable. I don't know. I loved what I saw. LeClaire played unreal.
Yep.
As he did. You know, and I understand you're playing St. John, whose active roster is on average 17 and a half years old. I get it.
That's still crazy.
But they're a team in the league, and you take those 2 points whenever you can get them.
Yep.
So I loved everything about that hockey game, everything as far as the game goes, the fact that we were able to skate away when it was all said and done with the W. My hat goes off to the Moncton Wildcats for doing that. For giving the fans something to be happy about before they left that building.
Mm-hmm.
Because based off how I, you know, quiet and we talked about the crowd was, the ultimate slap would have been to lose that hockey game. But they didn't.
No.
They looked amazing. Cats come away with a big two.
I'm quite satisfied with the, I guess, I'm trying to find a word here, but Simo LeCoultre has stepped up his game in a big way. It's from what I've seen so far, with a few exceptions, of course. He's flat out maybe one of the best skaters on the team.
Don't doubt that. Never have.
No.
Never have.
He's definitely showing a little more jump offensively. Still needs to work on his defensive side of the game.
But that's just about pairing. You got to make sure he's paired with the right guy, because you're right. He reminds me a lot of P.K. Subban that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, yeah,
he was
right.
Paired with Spence, wasn't he?
Sylvester.
Was it? I thought it was Sylvester and Asperol. And that was him and Spence.
It was Aspro and Spence and...
Yeah, Aspro was Spence.
LeCoultre and Sylvester and...
Now, that being said, there was a lot of line juggling.
Yeah.
There was a lot of line juggling.
And that's part of the reason why maybe this team is off to, you know, a rough... Not, I wouldn't say necessarily a rough start, but not the start that we were expecting. When you're juggling lines all the time, it's hard to build chemistry.
It's hard chemistry. To find chemistry, yeah. It's not like a video game.
But it's like... The main three, Capanelli, Sierra, McKenna, like those three are, I mean, they've had the chemistry for 2 years now. So, but it's just the other lines that need to get going.
But at what point, and again, we noticed it, because, I mean, Hudson was paired up with Peltier and Havanoff. And obviously I'm not a coach, and I'm sure there's logical reason behind it. But at what point do you put Peltier back on that top line? I understand it was his first game back from an injury. I get it.
He looked good, though.
Of course he looked good. Like, him and Hadi looked unreal together.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like they were reading each other in the back, like if they could see each other in the back of their heads, which is really well done. And again, Havanov scored two, so obviously it worked.
Yeah.
It worked. I don't know. I just, like I said, you see guys like McKenna, you see guys like Sear. I just missed that Peltier up front piece.
Mm-hmm. Which we kind of thought all off season that it would be those three. The weirdest, like when I looked at the stats, the weirdest penalty I saw, wearing a mouthpiece illegally.
That's a new one.
What is that? Does anybody have a clue? That's what Maxim Chavik or whatever. Yeah. He got that. Is that because he's chewing on it?
Kadjevic.
Yeah, there we go. Kadjevic. Is that because he's chewing on it?
Very well could be.
I honestly have no idea. Like,
the Poirier hit, I thought he got kicked out for the hit, but he got kicked out for taking the helmet off.
Yes, for removing the opponent helmet.
Right. And then right at that same, like 2 minutes later, he got the penalty for wearing a mouthpiece illegally. And I'm like, what is that? Like, it was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. I've never seen that. Are you trying to Google it?
I'm trying to take a look right now. Yeah, yeah. So, I got nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was interesting. It's the first time I'd ever heard it.
It's
the first time I'd ever heard it.
The only thing I can think of is he was chewing it instead of putting it in his mouth. Because if they lose their helmet, they got to go off immediately, right?
So you got to remember, because rules are a little different in junior hockey, too, in the queue. Because, small things, like you said, bucket comes off, instant right to the bench.
So maybe he dropped
every player, regardless of situation, must be wearing a neck guard at all times. Not optional.
How much of it is. It could be taped up in a little hole. It doesn't have to
Which is a loophole. It's just a loophole. They found a way to loophole through it. But yeah, and again, this is just for the safety of the players, guys.
That's
all that is. They're trying to get a control of it.
No. But
do you have it?
No, I couldn't find it. I just want to chime in a little more. I'm going to take a moment here to appreciate Elliot Denoyer.
Yes.
Unreal.
This kid, I don't know how he wasn't drafted until 18th overall. Are you trying to tell me there are 17 players better than him in the draft class?
No.
Like, he reminds me of Pelche.
Pelche in the making.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Inches taller and maybe 30 pounds heavier.
Easily the best player on the ice.
Just ridiculous work ethic.
Right.
Never gives up on a puck.
No. Like, ferocious forecheck. Always in on the puck.
So what he reminds me a lot of is, if you go back to the draft last year, and obviously you had Lafreniere go first of all. I'm not trying to compare Desnoyers to Lafreniere, but from a size stature, he's bigger than Peltz is.
Yes.
You know, he rides his edges very well, and he has incredible hands. He is going to be lethal and a stud.
What a skater, too.
Unbelievable.
Like, I mean, obviously having a father who played in the NHL is going to help with your skating.
Sure, if that's what you're into.
You would hope.
Just I can't even skate. Get me on a pond, I'm going to fall on my face.
But that goes back to Richie and Rumble. I mean, and, you know, the scouting staff and everybody putting this team together. I mean, that's doing some incredible homework.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
On the first three picks. Like him, Kingsbury, Fournier, and Spence. Like, that's...
I mean, everybody knew Spence was good, though. Spence has been... But Desnoyers is unbelievable. Yeah.
There was a team, a New Brunswick team, who wanted to take Jordan Spence in the first round. Bathurst wanted to take Jordan Spence in the first round.
I was going
to
say, you might as well tell this man there's only three of them there.
And he wouldn't report to Bathurst. So, big ups on Moncton for
getting him.
Holding off... Where did Bathurst pick? 16?
Ish, yeah.
15, 16?
Yeah.
So to be able to wait, because you knew, I know it was Bathurst, and then Valdor had back-to-back picks.
14,
okay.
And then Valdor went back.
Yeah, they took Benjamin Root at 14.
Right.
Glorious!
That's awesome. So let's, we've done the whole opener to death. Well, not to death, but we've talked about it. So let's move on to Mr. Boucher's stick tap of the week.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. So I'm going...
It's your segment.
Yeah,
how do you forget about it?
I literally just had it up, but I closed it. if memory serves me correct, I'm going across the bridge for this one. And I'm going to the Charlottetown Islanders and their promotions department. what they are doing is absolutely genius. Next level stuff.
Yep.
The school day game, I think, is awesome.
It's fantastic. It's one of the best things. Like, it's Edmonton does it.
A 10 a.m. puck drop.
Yep.
Against the, obviously, the Wildcats are going to be in that game. I don't exactly know how it works, but...
School kids go. When Edmonton does it, it's called Hockey Hookie.
Right.
And the Oil Kings usually play a Calgary or Red Deer, like one of the Alberta teams. And it's a known fact, if you're a kid in school, on that day, you're going to the hockey game, and it's discounted prices, and they sell that arena out.
Okay, because I actually reached out to someone in Charlottetown, and they said that the kids don't pay for the tickets. The season ticket holders are asked to donate their tickets, and then those tickets are then given to the students.
Amazing.
Well, that's cool.
And then the season ticket holders are then credited somehow with a voucher at the Islanders store or something. So they don't make the students pay for it, which obviously at that point, you know, it allows like the less fortunate children to actually go and see a hockey game. Like you know, so that's amazing. And it's a Wednesday. My days off are Wednesday. So maybe I'll cross the bridge for that one. they do a promotion for their games on Sunday until Christmas. Children under 12 get in free to all their games on Sundays.
That's how you make the building loud.
You allow
children in that scream at the top of their lungs.
I have a love-hate relationship with the noisemaker, whatever, the noise meter.
Right.
I love it, but I hate it.
Yeah.
But if you can get thousands of kids in there in a building on a Sunday afternoon, they're going to be wet in their pants.
Gong show.
Like, they're going to want to get rowdy.
Yeah.
Wednesdays,
gong show.
If the Islanders win on Wednesdays,
this is the best promotion.
The fans can redeem their ticket stub for a free ticket to the next Wednesday game.
Like,
not even that. I think, when did they beat St. John? It was on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
And you could go to the Factory, one of my favorite restaurants in all of Charlottetown, the next day, for a basket of wings for $1. One freaking dollar for a basket of wings.
Yeah.
This is genius. Like, there's like hands like stick tap to the Charlottetown Islanders promotions team. You're doing it right. And I hope other teams will follow suit. Way to go.
I knew some of those, but I didn't know the wing one.
Like, not even that. Okay, well, one more. Student night Thursdays. Show your valid student ID. Tickets are $3. Pocket change.
That's a win. That's
all right. I mean, we don't have a ton of time, so yes, you are right. Absolutely great stick tap of the week, but I mean, you know, their promotions team definitely deserves that. But there's a reason that their promotions team is doing that. You've got to remember. I mean, you're trying to draw people. I'm not saying you're not wrong, and I think it's amazing. And would I love to see something like that in Moncton? You could do something like that, still charge a little more because it's a bigger market. Right? It's a bigger hockey market.
Right.
But they need to do something that way. But yeah, no, hats go off to them. But remember, they're doing that to put people in the barn.
Yeah.
I get it.
I know where you're coming from.
I get it.
I know where you're coming from. But when you look at last season's attendance at the Coliseum, and there were Wednesday night games of only 3,500 people.
Right.
Give me a break.
100%.
Do something about it.
100%.
That'll wrap up things for tonight. We do, just a reminder, we are going to have a second special Thursday episode tomorrow. We're going to recap the other two home games. Dobson, any last thoughts for tonight?
Nope. It was fun to see everybody at the Avenir Center on Friday. Hope everyone had fun, because you didn't show it.
I enjoyed the $10 beers.
Yes, you did. Guys, as always, you can follow us on the social medias, Facebook, Instagram, and the Twitter. We will see you guys tomorrow night for a special Thursday episode. Have a good night.